It was just the year Y2K, not very long ago, right? Wasn't it just the other day? What happened? 2025. You know, I don't know your experience so far of 2025, but I understand why some people don't like to watch the news, right? Because how much has happened already? We're not 2 weeks into this year, and so many terrible things have happened, so many tragic things in life. And we have to talk a little bit about them because there's good news, and it's in Jesus Christ. And it's a hope that we have, and it's something to share with people. And we're going to be talking a little about that kind of indirectly today, and then particularly I want to talk about that next week, the life that we have in Christ. But in order to set the scene for that, why people so need Jesus in their life, we have to talk about what's wrong with the world and how that infects us. And I want to talk about that today. As we're looking at the world, we see so many things that are going so great in so many different areas of life. We see so much gains in things like technology, and we have hope that we're going to have a more prosperous year in 2025. But at the same time, we're reminded of so much violence in the world, right? What is happening in our world with the violence that's happening? What is happening in our world with the number of people, young people mostly, that are overdosing to drugs? 100,000 people a year are overdosing from drugs in our world today. I mean, this is mind-boggling, and like it's hard to wrap your head around. It's difficult to want to take this in, but we have to think about this a little bit in order to share the hope that we have. We've got suicides. 50,000 people a year are ending their lives in the world today. As good as we look around and we think, wow, we've got all this technology, we have so much hope in what the year's going to bring, and yet there are some people that have no hope at all in the world. We have school shootings that are happening. We think, okay, we got to protect our kids from these guns. Now we know what the word soft targets means, something we never knew before, right? Unless you're in law enforcement. Now we understand soft targets. We got to put up barricades to protect our kids from guns. And then there are people that are killing people with cars. So then we realize we have to have barricades up to protect people in pretty much every environment that we want to go into today because things are so dangerous. If we can keep people evil out, we can protect lives, and I'm totally for that. But there's a bigger problem, right? Because it didn't used to be this way. There's a bigger problem. It's in the human heart. People are broken in the world today. Something is happening in the world today, and it needs to be solved, and God's got a solution for that. And we can talk about mental illness today as a way of explaining a lot of what's going on in the world today. People are so hurting. But why is it happening so much right now? Because it didn't used to be like this. And a lot of us can remember back when it wasn't like this. What's happening that this is such an epidemic in our world today? It's hard being a parent today, I think. You know, I was a parent. My kids are now grown. So in a sense, it's kind of a sigh of relief because they were safe through that time frame, just increasingly starting to worry about them in a way that I don't remember. My parents didn't have to worry about us. At least it didn't seem like they did. But today we worry about our kids. But now I'm praying for grandkids that I'm going to have now. My daughters are married, and I'm going to start worrying all over again now. Right when I think I made it, I'm like, oh, no. Are they going to be safe? You know, what's it like? And I'm going to want to go check their schools out and all of this stuff. I can just see all the problems I'm going to have coming up for concern about this. And we yearn for a world that works differently. We're yearning for a kingdom, people, where righteousness reigns. A new heaven and a new earth we have been promised. Not a fixing of this world so much as God remaking the world the way He always intended that it would be. And that's coming, but it's coming on another day. Today, what the Spirit wants is for us to look inside our lives and our hearts and attend to them. And whatever is wrong in the world, the Spirit wants to make people right in their hearts. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because the first step in thinking about all this and what's gone wrong and how this affects us as believers is to just think about our lives as a process. You have to think that way. You can't get too caught up on the moment in life, because in the moment, a lot of terrible things can happen. We see that happening all around us, a lot of terrible things. And if you focus too much on the moment, like, how am I going to be happy right now? How am I going to deal with the emptiness I have right now in the moment? And we don't think about where we're headed as a whole in our lives. Sometimes we're going to miss the big part, the big picture of our journey We're not focused on our destiny a lot of times, and we let the moment overwhelm us in life. That's why people have no hope. They reach moments where they look at the moment and they've lost everything and they think, I have nothing else. This is the world, and it's always been this way, and it's part of the reason why people are in so much despair today, because they're so focused on the moment, that's all they have, they think. It can be overwhelming. We can feel empty. We can have incredible sense of loneliness and despair in our lives and be left with pain. And that, if we focus too much on that, that can stop us from finding our way to the life that God really wants for us. Because sometimes it's just around the corner, His blessings, right? And the Spirit is drawing us to that. So we don't want to stop when circumstances hit. We don't want to stop when we feel overwhelmed in life. We don't want to get distracted by all the many things in our culture that are trying to pull us into its version of the life that it markets to us. So today I want to show you a text from 2 Peter. I've been focusing on 2 Peter. We're covering that in our men's ministry, on our men's breakfasts. I'm in 2 Peter. I've been thinking about this book a lot. And right in the opening section of this book, he opens with an observation. Actually, he's going to make two observational points, and then he's going to make a challenge about what God wants from us to reach the life that He has for us as Christians. And so, but we have to first look at His two observations, and we have to believe Him when He tells us those things, because the challenge to us is contingent on us believing the two things that He starts with. So here's the interesting thing about 2 Peter, unlike 1 Peter, He doesn't direct this book to any specific group of churches. He leaves it open to everybody that has faith like His faith. Right? And that's all of us. So as we're reading this, I want you to think about this. This is what God wants for you in 2025. In this world today, it has never been more applicable than today in 2025. What God wants from us, the commitment He needs from us to reach that life that He has for each of us. So these words are for you. Okay, and so here's the first point in my outline. It's God gave you everything you need to have the life He planned for you in 2025. And here's the verse behind that idea. Peter writes, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Okay, so I have to unpack this for you, because you have to believe this if you want to have that life. So if it's true, it means you have everything you need. Right now, God gave it to you to have that life. By His power, it is so. That's what Peter is saying. You have it because He gave it to you and you know Him. That's what Peter's writing. Through our knowledge of Him. And when he says your knowledge of Him, he's not talking about knowing something about God per se, but knowing Him personally. Because you have trusted Him by faith, you know God. Okay. People out there that haven't done that, they don't know Him. You know Him. And because of that, He's given you everything you need for a godly life. He is the source of that life. And that's all you need to have a godly life, which is to say the kind of life that comes from God. That's what He means, a godly life. Okay? It means it's a different kind of life than you get out there, you know, sort of doing your thing out in the world that's marketed to you. Maybe you see it on TV or you see it on social media. There's another view of life. There's all kinds of different perspectives on life. But if you want the life that God's got for you, the one He has in His mind, if He's thinking about you, not generally, but specifically about you, He's got a picture in His mind of your life. And He's given it to you. Or at least He's given you the chance to have that life, right? That's what Peter is telling us. That's what he means by a godly life. It's a life, Peter says, He called us to by His own glory and goodness. And this word called, kind of a technical word, not going to go into it, but really what it means, that word means, is He's planned it for you, okay? It's a plan. It's a set plan in His mind for your life, and it's the life you really want and need. In Christ. That's the life he's talking about. By his own glory and goodness, he's done it. So it's not based on you, and it's not based on anything you've deserved in your whole life. It's something he's done by his glory. In other words, because he's just being himself and revealing that to the world, and his goodness, he has given you this life, Peter's telling you. So it doesn't matter how badly you've messed up. Doesn't matter how low you think you are or how great you think you are, it doesn't make any difference at all. This has come to you because God gave it to you. Okay? That's his first point. You have to believe that if you want that life. Okay? Second outline point. His plan allows you to escape the rottenness of the world and reach the destiny that awaits you. Okay, this is his second proposition. So here's verse 4, the next verse. Through these, okay, and by these, he's referring back into verse 3 to God's glory and goodness. In other words, not based on you. Same idea. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Okay, so here's something I want to explain to you about this verse. It's something he unpacks later on in the letter, but I need to explain it to you so that this makes sense to you. This word promises, there's a lot of different words in Greek that mean promises that are translated into our English word promise. This is a very unique word, and it only appears in one other place in the Bible, and it's in this letter on chapter 3. So this word for promise is different from other words for promise. It appears in chapter 3, and Peter explains what he means by it in chapter 3. And I'm going to tell you here so that this verse will make sense to you without having to go ahead and read the rest of the letter, though we will in our men's breakfast, by the way, get there eventually to chapter 3. But this word promise, Peter is referring in chapter 3 to the new heaven and the new earth that he's going to bring when this corrupted world goes away. So what Peter's saying here is that he has given these to you. He has given you a destiny because when this world goes away, you're going to be part of what comes next. So you have a destiny. And again, it's not based on you. It's based on him. He's bringing you into that new destiny. And here's why he's doing it. He continues in verse 4, that through them you may, these promises, this new heavens and new earth, you may participate in the divine nature. And what he means by that is you don't become God. What he means by that is you have his life in you. That's why he's done all this. He wants you to have the life that proceeded from him through Jesus Christ and that you obtain by faith. You have that same life inside of you. Jesus came to bring that life. It's not the life you're born into the world with, the biological life. That's going to end. You have new life, and it's because of that, and for that reason, you're going to be here when this world is gone. It's the greatest thing that you could ever be given is this life, and it comes from God, right? Okay, so, and this is not a life you can get out there anywhere. You only get it because God gave it to you. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. See, that allows you to escape the corruption of the world, and this word corruption means it's the idea of something being messed up or rotten. Okay, that's why I say escape the rottenness of the world. It's not just all the bad things people do, but the whole world is messed up. And this is what we started talking about, right? As we're looking around, this entire world is messed up, and Peter's identifying the reason why it's messed up. People don't want God's perspective on their life. So we've messed the world up. They want some other perspective. They want their own perspective on life, or they want some cultural perspective. And because of that, everything's been messed up. And it's not what God wants for us, and it's not what God wants for you. And it's all going away, and you're going to escape it because God's created you for eternity. Okay? Great news. Okay? This, you're going to die, and you're going to live forever with God. Right? That's the news. Nothing can take that from you. It came from him. Okay, so you have to believe these two things in order to get to the big point down here. The world is all confused. They're looking around. Why are all these bad things happening? We need more barricades. We need to protect more people, right? God's got a different solution. It's all good. Let's do that. Because what else can we do? But God's got a better solution. I'm going to remake it all in love and righteousness. And in, for my glory and my goodness, because I love the people of this world, God's going to. But right now we're living through it. We're in the middle of it. And we know why it's happening. Yeah, the world doesn't want what God wants. That's why it's happening. So here's the big question as we get to this moment. Peter's setting you up for this idea. If he has given us everything we need for this godly life, which is to say the kind of life God wants for us specifically, then as people who know him, why don't we have that life? Why do we struggle? Why are we feeling empty? We understand We hear about all the celebrity news and all the crazy stuff going on with these people. They have all this money and they have all this miserable problem and they're going through all this difficulty. That all makes sense, right? Yeah, they don't know the Lord. But why are we struggling? Why are we feeling empty? Why are we focused on the moment? Why are we like, I'll do anything to get out of this pain? Why are we in that spot where we're afraid in life? Why do we pick the same lives as a lot of people and go for that view of life instead of this view that Peter's talking about here, this amazing life that God's provided us? Why do we fall into the same failures over and over again? Okay, so here's the reason. And Peter's going to get to this. It's going to get to the thing that he says to you in the next three verses after this and why he's challenging you. It's because we start our lives on this journey in faith, but something happens and we get stopped. We get blocked. Sometimes it's circumstances. Sometimes it's just we're really unhappy. We're empty. Something happens and we buy into this perspective. We lose our way. We stop moving ahead. We get distracted. We give up. Discipleship is about a journey, and it's hard. And Peter's going to urge you onto this journey to get the life that God has given you, to experience that life. He's given it to you, but you don't have to live that life, and you don't have to experience it. You can get diverted. It's really easy to do that in life. So Peter's going to tell us the steps that we need to all follow in 2025 to have that life and experience it in every way in our lives. And hopefully figure out as he talks through this where we're getting stuck. What is keeping us from that life, right? Okay, point three. For these reasons, he says, you should make every effort to follow him in 2025. Yeah, because he's done these things for you. So he says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, and he's going to go on and talk about the things he wants you to add, and we're going to talk about them. But for this very reason means this is why you should do these things this year as you're coming up to it, to reach the destiny and experience that life. Yeah, you have to push ahead. You have to make every effort. It's not automatic. And if you think it is, and you're just sort of like, okay, I trust God, I'm just gonna, you know, do whatever I want, go with the flow this year, you're gonna find out. It can be really hard, and something can take you down. Something can block you. So this is how you have the life you should have, and not the life you don't need, the one that's kind of led this world to the point that it's at, that you were rescued from. You make every effort. So you understand, the true life is resisted by culture. It really is. They have another view. And there's pushback as you try to live out the life that Peter's talking about. The current of this life, the world we live in, will pull us on a different path for life. And we'll forget about the journey that we're on. So Peter's telling us, don't forget. And actually, we're not going to get to it, but the verse is right after this. He says, if you forget, it's like you're blind and you've forgotten something. Right? And we are like that so often. Okay, so he says, so make every effort to add to your faith goodness. This is where he starts. So add to your faith. So it's actually step one in the life of discipleship, faith. Okay, and faith is trust. And you've trusted God. What next? Peter tells you. The next thing you add is goodness. It's not enough to just trust God. You need to, first off, add goodness to that. So what is goodness? And I understand he's writing in Greek here with very complicated language, and there's lots of different words for things that we don't have in English. Goodness, I mean, what is that? So sometimes I'll be speaking to young adults, and I'll ask them different questions, just kind of measure how heavily they've been affected by, you know, kind of the secular cultural worldview. Because I'm really challenging, especially young people, to really live for the Lord in the middle of our culture today. One of the questions I'll ask them, and there might be some young people here who have asked this question, actually. I'll ask them, why do you think people like Taylor Swift so much? Just see what they'll say. What is that? Just to kind of, and I'm really kind of interested in, now obviously that implies that I don't get it, right? When I'm asking that question, and I guess I really don't get it. But I'm asking the question because I'm interested in the kind of rationale that they'll give back. And one of the things you'll hear back, you'll hear different things, but one of the things I'll hear back, because she's so good. And it kind of points to this idea, how the word good has just been watered down in our culture today. And it really doesn't mean a whole lot more in most people's thinking, especially young people's thinking, than what makes me happy, right? We use that. Oh, that's so good. She's so good. And this is so good. And you just think, okay, in other words, it makes me happy. There's really not a lot of reason behind all of it. But this is not what Peter's saying here. So what Peter's writing about, he's got a challenge. You have to understand this to really get into his point. This is a Greek word, it's arete, and it's a Greek word that is used and translated in a lot of ancient writings as the word virtue, which is a word we hardly ever use anymore, this word virtue. And if you say it to a lot of young people, they probably don't even really know what it refers to, but it's referring to a moral goodness. This is step one in your life, in following Christ. This is the first roadblock for you in faith, is you got to get your life right. Stop doing the things that you're doing that are keeping you from progressing in your relationship with God. And it's usually something, and it's something totally wrong, and we know what it is. A lot of times when we come to Christ, and right away we're like, oh, does this mean I have to stop doing this? And we'll think of something, and we know that that's right, because now all of a sudden we know that we have this choice, that we actually can do something that is like the kind of thing God wants for us. And we've been doing something that's not. And a lot of times you'll see somebody who's just come to Christ and they'll be struggling with some big thing, you know, like, you know, some young person, oh, does this mean I have to stop having sex with my girlfriend or something like that? And you're like, yes, you know, you'll try to explain that to people and they're like, oh yeah, wow. And there's just something we're wired to understand, that there are things that are just not right in our lives, and we all know that because God's made us all that way. And yet we really don't find ourselves with the alternative until we turn to the Lord. But sometimes in the very beginning of this process, there's still something. And sometimes we fall back into that stuff, by the way, and we need to stop it. And so that means no more lying, right, in our lives. No more cheating in our lives. We need to be brave people and courageous people, and we need to stand up for God in our lives. And we need to stop hiding in the darkness the things that we know are not right. If we want to have the life that God wants for us, that's the first thing we need to add on. And that's a good image. Like one of the images in Scripture is walking in the light or being in the light and not hiding in the darkness. And one of the ways that we know something's not right in my life is that we keep it private. Right? This is one of the reasons we know. So point A. In 2025, there are a million ways to compromise morally and make your life easier or help yourself feel better. That's what they do out there, people. That's the life they have. To have the life God wants for you, choose goodness in 2025. Choose virtue. Choose, I'm gonna seek holiness in my life. This is step two on the life of discipleship. And that's why I'm spending a little more time on this, because it's why a lot of us don't have the lives that we're supposed to have in Christ, is because we just won't do that. And we keep doing whatever we know is wrong already. And I've had my life hung up on some stuff like this, especially when I was younger, with some things I just didn't want to give up on. And I never got anywhere until I learned something, that there is nothing better in life than having nothing to hide. When you can just live with everything out in the open in front of everybody, man, that is peace, right? When you don't have to keep something secret, which is a good sign that it's probably not the thing you want in your life. And Satan's going to use that thing, people, just to bring you down, to accuse you, to crush you, to humiliate you. Just get rid of that stuff. Live with integrity all the time. This is step one. This is what Peter's wanting for you. This is what he's telling you to do. In a world that says, do whatever you want, instead, pursue goodness. It's that first step. And I want you to picture like this stairway. Peter's pointing you toward this stairway. And every step is kind of hard. But to get to the next step, you got to deal with the one you're on. And there's something there blocking you. And you have to say, I'm going to get my life right. Whatever it is that I've been protecting in my life, I'm going to get rid of that so that I can make it to the next step. Because far up that stairway, there's a destination. See, don't focus on the moment. Your moment, you're like, I need this. Pastor, I need this right now. I can't give up on this right now. Look ahead. You're going somewhere. And there's blessings on that journey that you're heading toward. And if you picture that, but it's hard. And the only way you're going to experience the thing that he wants, I mean, you're going to get to the destination he has for you. You can't blow it. If you really trusted him, you're going to get there. But you don't have to have that experience. But God wants you to have that life experience, that life that's blessed. And we're going to talk about what that life is, by the way, next week. I'm going to describe that life. That's more what we're going to focus on next week. So if you want to think, how do I explain my faith to people and tell them about the life? Why do they need Jesus? Next week, okay, we're going to talk about that. But to make it to that life and experience that life, you have to push ahead. So choose goodness. Okay, next step. Let me show you next step in verse 5 here. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. That's step 2. Okay, well, step 3. Faith, goodness, knowledge. What is that? Okay, that's knowing God. That's what Peter's talking about here. So, knowing God more deeply. Not just knowing stuff about God, okay? But once you get your life right, see, that's right about the point in your Christian walk where you start to become interested in God. And like, yeah, so I should read my Bible, right? And I should get to know him more. What is he like? And we end up in this process of getting closer to him. But you can't get very close to him if you're not walking in the light. So this is why you got to get past that first blocker and then start to deepen your relationship. So why don't we know God better in 2025? And I think it's harder to know God today than it's ever been. I think this is a crazy world we live in. Well, the reason we don't know God the way we should is because we don't spend time getting. It's like every relationship in your life. You can't get to know anybody if you don't spend time with them. You're too busy in today's world. How busy are you? I'm ridiculously busy today. I'm busier than ever. Okay, point B. In 2025, there are a lot of things that are demanding your attention. Set aside time to know God. If you know him closely, he will lead you to the life he wants for you. Okay? You got to get to that step because he's right there. The more you know about him, the easier it is to continue on this journey of discipleship Peter's talking about. So we have this world today that has this amazing capacity to fill up every second of our time. They didn't always have this. The people actually used to have lives where, whoops, the sun's gone down, we have no electricity, what are we going to do? Let's get together with a candle and sing and hang out with each other. Okay, those days are gone. It's harder in 2025 to know God than at any time in the past. There's streaming services, infinite streaming services for you out there now to fill your moments up. There's infinite posts appearing on social media. You can't spend too much time if you want to stay on top of those, you know. You're constantly going to be on there. There's a search engine with infinite answers for you on every question you have. And it doesn't seem like every time you go back, there's more answers out there. You don't have enough time for that. There's too much shopping for you to ever get to in 2025. And now it's all online. Everything. Do you remember the days where if you needed something, you actually had to drive to a place? And maybe you got there and you're walking in, you don't even know specifically, but I hope they have this thing. And then you'd walk through and you'd look and they don't have it. And then you have to go to another place. Remember when that was life? And that's all gone now. Because whatever it is, you can find it exactly. And a lot of times you can have it on the same day. I mean, that makes me happy. Right? But it just means now I have even more time to do all the things that makes possible in my life. All these other little things. So if you let it, there won't be any time for the most important relationship in your life. The most important relationship is the relationship with the one who is waiting on the other side of this life with his arms open for you. And don't you know that when you get to that moment, you don't want to just be kind of getting to know him for the first time. Get to know him now in 2025. That's what this year is, right? So get into the word, clear your mind in 2025. Make time. I'm going to start a Sunday school class on Daniel in mid-February. Come and join us after our services starting in mid-February and get to know God. Okay? Talk about a man who lived in secular culture and God did amazing and powerful things through his life. We need that kind of life. Come and study and get to know God better in 2025. Okay, now, next two steps. Self-control and perseverance. Here's what we read. Add to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. We're going to link those two together. They go together. Because one is about taking control, and the other is and not giving up when it gets hard, right? Those two things always go together for us. There is no concept in this list more at odds with our culture than self-control. I don't even think you hear these terms anymore. When's the last person somebody had a conversation in our cultural framework about self-control? It means limiting what you want. It means saying no to stuff. That's the opposite of what they're telling you to do. This is why I don't watch commercials anymore, if I can possibly help it. This is why I let football games go like 20 minutes in on a recording before I start watching them, so I can skip the commercials. Because the commercials are all about telling me that I should want more stuff, right? I should want a different life. Oh, here's this, you know, resort, you know, with all these people in bathing suits dancing around. Like, you should want this. Now you should want this car, and if you had that car, oh, you know, what a great life you would have. Look at these people, you know, and how much fun they're having in these pictures of life, you know. I can't have too much. You can't have too much is the message. You need one more thing, and then you'll be happy. Okay, the biggest lie of our culture today, by the way, if I just get one more thing, then I'll be happy. Biggest lie that there is out there in the world today. You don't need one more thing to have the life God wants for you. He gave it to you. Got it right in front of you. So they're telling you, have fun, get drunk. Don't let anybody stop you. That's the message out there. That's the life they have, right? That's the life the celebs have. Nothing can stop them. They can do anything they want. Even the fire isn't going to stop most of them. They're going to buy another house. It's going to all be okay for some of those people. But wait, what if the thing that I'm talking about isn't good for me? What if the things that they're marketing to me aren't good for me? You know, what if it becomes something that controls me? What if this pursuit is controlling my life? This thought that if I could just be happy right now, my life will be good. What if that thought is controlling me and sending me on a path and I'm not looking at the destination that I'm heading for in life? Right? What is that? If it becomes controlling, it's something that takes up my time and my heart. And we think, well, it's not bad, Pastor. It's not a sin. It's not like the other thing you were talking about. It's just, I can't not have it. It's just taken up my whole life. It's all I think about. And you find yourself blocked from the life God has for you because you've been distracted. Or you can control yourself, like Peter's saying, and stick with it, which is the next step, perseverance, because that's how it always goes. The moment you start saying no to stuff, you start thinking, well, maybe, right? So point C, in 2025, people are telling you that freedom is doing and being whatever you desire. Instead, exercise self-control, then persevere when it gets hard to resist and be the person God called you to be. Yeah, pick things that are good for you in your life. This is the big question we got to ask ourselves, because a lot of us get caught up on this. I get caught up on this, is what is controlling you in 2025? You got to stop and think about it. You know, what am I serving? Who am I serving in 2025? If it's not the Lord, what is that? If this is the step that's stopping you from the life what God wants for you, what is hanging you up? What is taking all your energy and heart? Let go of it, people. I mean, or at least limit it in your life. Stop thinking of the images that culture's dangling out in front of you, right? Skip the commercials. Just skip them. I don't need to think about all that stuff. And think about instead, what does God want for you? Like to fill your heart with? What does he want in there? Because he's got a plan for you that lasts beyond this world. And he wants you to receive that life now. Okay, keep going here. We got still a few more steps. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. Godliness. Finally, we get there. The life that God wants for us. We've started to arrive in his list. So think of all the things that block us from seeing everything change inside of us. Okay? So if you're like, man, I hate myself. I really don't like myself. I'm struggling with these same failures over and over. God has a process to get us there. So find the things that are stumbling you, because this is the point, the point you want to shoot for as the real starting point of the Christian life. And this is when it happens. This is when the Spirit is changing you. Godliness is when the Spirit's got that hold on your heart and you're changing. Have you ever known anybody that's really changed in life? I've known people. My parents did that. They were actually not great parents when I was a kid, but by the end of their lives, when I was older, they became the most amazing people in my life. God, it's like Jesus in my life came through these two people. But it didn't start that way. They went on a journey and they made it and they changed my life. And my dad showed me what my heavenly Father is like. He didn't start that way, but he went through the process. He made every effort for all of us kids in our family. The Spirit of God does that inside of us. If we will cooperate in this process, and we start looking a lot like him, a lot like God. Talking about looking like Jesus kind of makes me nervous. I don't know how that makes you feel, because I can't help but think of all the ways that I fall short of that picture. But maybe just think of it this way. Imagine you becoming the person that God wants you to be. Imagine his picture of you. And that includes your weaknesses and your flaws and everything else, but he's got a picture of you as a person who grows and bears fruit in your life because he's working in you. Picture that person. That's this person, the godly person. That's that version of you. You will change because he's made it possible for you by his power and his calling in your life. But you have to make the effort and hang in and stop getting tripped up in your life. And when you do change, you will change the people around you. You will see people encounter Jesus through your life. And it is the most amazing thing to see that happen. I had that happen with my parents in my life. With all their mistakes, they were erased over the years because of the people they became. And it's the same for us. Whatever you've done in the past, whatever mistakes you made, you can be that person. God's given you everything you need. Don't give up. So point D, in 2025, pursue godliness. Find your worth by modeling your life on the one who is above all. Forget the cultural icons and idols that are put out there for us. Model your life on the Lord. And follow along with the people who have gone through this process and learn from them. A lot of us have this testimony that we used to be pretty horrible, right? Don't some of us have that testimony? That we used to be pretty horrible, but for the grace of God, he changed us. He changed us, and that's what he does. And it's because we cooperate in the process. But by his power and his patience in our lives, we can be the people that he has planned for us to be from eternity. Okay, so let's keep going now. Two more steps. To godliness, mutual affection, Peter says. Mutual affection. Okay, so this word is the Greek word Philadelphia. Okay, we have a city named after this Greek word. And the word is, it has a good football team connected to that city. It has nothing to do with this. But this word Philadelphia, what it means is, and a lot of times we'll translate this in English as brotherly love, okay? There's different words for love in Greek, and philos is one of those words, but it means more of an affection kind of love. So this is a good way to explain that word brotherly love, is to say mutual affection. Kind of like your family. Maybe you actually don't have a very loving family, so maybe it's not a good picture, but it's that idea of people that you're familiar with and you care for. But having that with everybody, that's what Peter's saying. Having that kind of care for all the people that you encounter in life. It's when it's not about you anymore. Notice we've reached that point past godliness where it's no longer all about you. And it's all of a sudden about the people that God puts in your life. So this is where our ministry really starts. First, we start looking a lot like the Lord, and then we start loving on the people around, just like Jesus did, right? We start caring for the people that God puts in our lives. Godly people who find their worth in the Lord can get rid of their selfishness and be kind and loving to people. But if I'm here just to cater to my impulses, you know, probably I'm not investing in other people if I'm tripped up on one of these earlier phases, right? I'm all worried about myself and how I'm going to feel at any given moment. But if we have this picture and we keep our eyes on the goal and we cooperate, then all of a sudden we reach this point where we can love on the people around us and be kind to them. Okay, so point E, in 2025, set aside division and show mutual affection for the people God puts in your life. And I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about even people you bump into, strangers that you only know for 3 minutes and you never see them again, people. Invest something in everybody in 2025. At least be kind to people. Right? Because there's something in our culture. People become obstacles. In an individualistic, you follow the life that's out there, the Hollywood life, whatever you want to call it, the media life, the self-centered life, people are just blocking you. And, you know, man, this guy just cut me off again. I'm just going to honk at this guy, and I'm just going to shove past these people, and I'm just going to get angry. Because people make me mad, right? This is kind of the world we live in. And Peter's saying, no. That's not the life that you have. You have a life that's going to last forever. Treat these people, all of them, with kindness. Don't get impatient. I mean, try not to get impatient. And try, make that your 2025. I'm not going to get mad about this, Lord. I'm going to extend grace and kindness to everybody that I can in my life. And you're thinking, if you're struggling with something more fundamental, maybe you're not at the point where you got that energy, but this is what God wants to get you to in life. This is your ministry, right? Why is that person such a nice person? That person was so nice to me. It's so shocking in today's world. People are not that way, right? Back in the second century, one of the big characteristics of Christianity, and people would write about this, secular people writing back in the Roman Empire would talk about how Christians all liked each other and cared for each other. And they mocked it. They're like, why would you do that? They didn't understand it. They made fun of Christians for doing that. Well, you know, it's still pretty shocking. In today's world, I got a million ways to attack people I don't agree with, right? I got like websites where I can go all day and just thrash one person after another and mock them and post pictures about them. And I can do it anonymously. It's great. So if I got a little bit of hatred built up, I got all kinds of ways to unload on people today in today's world, more than ever. And you know, God wants none of that from you. God wants you to care for people. And so if you're going to disagree with somebody, you do it in a loving way. That's what God wants from us this year. If you have broken relationships in your life, maybe this is the year where you tackle those, right? Because that is part of the path. It's the same path Jesus walked. And that's the life God wants for you. The last step in this process is love. And this is the word agape. So this is where the verse ends here. Well, point F, in 2025, make sacrifices to show God and others how much you love them. This is the pinnacle and final step in the life of discipleship. And if you go all the way to the end of Peter's list, we finally get there, adding to mutual affection, love. And this is the word agape in Greek. This is the word for this, unrestricted love. It's the subject of 1 Corinthians 13. There's a whole chapter about this love, and it's like almost nothing you see in our world today, what you're reading in this chapter. And you get very little of it in this life from people. This is one of the sad things about life. Okay, but it's exactly what God wants to come out of our lives for others. And it's this last step, and it's transformative. It's almost never seen. Why would somebody die for somebody else? Right? It makes no sense in the world today. In a world that's temporary. In a world of unrestricted desires and people doing whatever they want. Why would you do that? But this kind of love where you would give something up for someone else, this is the most fulfilling life you can have. So do you want to change your kids' lives forever? Because people are your kids, the people in your life, you kids, do you want to change your parents' lives? Love them. I mean, people are dying to know somebody loves them in this life. Set aside what is for you and give it to somebody else that God has put there. and you will know when it happens, and you got to give something up. That's what Peter's talking about here in 2025. There's always a rationale for keeping what you have for yourself, but in the end, you're going to leave it all behind anyway on this journey. Use what you have in this life to show people that you really love them. And use this in life to let people know that they are loved. It's the pinnacle of this journey. When my life is over, my journey, and I cross over to the life, the next phase of life that Jesus has for me, none of the time that I had spent on myself in this life and the stuff I accumulated for myself and used on myself is going to matter, right? My goal is to invest it in the people that God's put in my life. My parents are gone. Now they're with the Lord. They did it with me. I do it with my kids, right? And you model that, and then it's this amazing thing. Your kids will do it back in your life. Your kids, your friends, the people that God has entrusted to you. And I'm writing to you as someone who was and still could be a very selfish and self-centered person in many ways. It's always a struggle in this world you're getting pulled into. Take care of yourself mentality. But God changed me and is still changing me. And he's done it through a lot of difficulties in my life. Times where people have loved me sacrificially. And times where they have suffered. Other people have gone through difficult times and I was able to be there for them. People are suffering in life. It's a chance for you to do this rare thing and love them in life. Look for those chances in 2025. So keep going. Don't give up. The Lord did it for you. He's the one that walked this path. And at the end of that stairway, see, is a door. And he's waiting for you right there with his arms open. Don't lose sight of that. That's the journey you're on. Follow him in 2025, and it's hard. But have the life that he offers you, and don't let anything stop you. Join us here at Woodbridge in mutual affection. That's who we are. These are loving people at this church. Join us here. If you're on the stream, come here. Let us share our affection with you. We can't get to you on the other side of your screen. You have to come here. Come here in 2025 as we encourage each other to reach the life and experience the life that God wants for all of us. Okay, let me pray. Jesus, thank you. The many difficult times in my life, Lord, you used every one of them to pull me closer to the life you wanted for me. Some of us, man, we are struggling. We are distracted. We are caught up on some area in our lives we know is not right. Or we get pulled back into the same old cycle again and again. Jesus, we ask for true freedom in your Holy Spirit this year. As you lead us to experience this life, change us and make us like you, Lord, that we can have that life. In your name I pray. Amen.
How many people in here think it's the Apostle Peter? Peter is an amazing human being. And if we all study the life of Peter, there was a so Peter, as he writes about this discipleship journey, he went through it and he lived it. Probably one of the most amazing moments in Peter's life is the day when Peter walked on water with Jesus. You know, Peter was the foul-mouthed fisherman from Galilee who was transformed into the apostle that God used to launch the church. So we're going to close with a song called Oceans. Oceans is a beautiful song of Peter saying, I'm going to walk on the water, that in the midst of trials and suffering, that Jesus has given us a power and a life, that we climb above the storms of life. You know, he calls me out upon the waters. So could we stand today as we close with this last song? And as we sing this last song, I just want to ask, Father, is there anybody in this church today going through trials? Lord, is there anybody that's in this assembly of believers today that is just stuck? Lord, maybe we're just filled with anxiety. We're filled with fear. God, we are afraid to trust you in our lives. We've come to a place of faith, but God, every step just has so much more. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just break chains this morning. That, God, you would heal bodies this morning. And that you would set the captives free this morning. We pray, Lord, that Satan would be stopped in our thoughts this morning. We pray, Lord God, for steps of faith. As it said in the very beginning, add to our faith. Lord, we pray for our faith today. Lord, help us to walk closer with you, to draw closer to you each and every day. Jesus, help us to walk on the water. We pray this for the glory of the kingdom of Christ. Amen.